Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Female professional wrestler. Enter the ring if you dare here on BBC One after Monday's One Show.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show. Hello once again, and welcome to a pod of a cast. And the cast in question is that of TV's The One Show. Not really a cast as such, is it? More a carny sideshow of acts wheeled out for an early evening BBC One audience to gawp at in wonderment and disbelief. This is The One Show show, which uniquely on a crowded pitch of TV show discussion, podcast spin-offs, seeks to examine and analyse a programme that literally doesn't warrant anything like this level of scrutiny. I am John Holmes, and in the week that The One Show was cruel to a Muslim, stroked a not a live cat, and grafted a kangaroo's pouch onto a woman, I'm joined by, by three guests this week. It's a booking error. Who will dissect it like it meant something? So they are Wrestle Me podcast host and The One Show show regular Mark Haynes, actor and writer, you'll know him from Murder in Successful, etc., Nico Tatarovich, and also making his The One Show show debut, actor, writer, comedy man. He was brutally killed in both Hollyoaks and Dennis Kelly's excellent Utopia, so hoping to make it a hat trick at the end of this. And let's face it, who amongst us hasn't had suicidal thoughts when watching The One Show? It's Dan Tetzel. And Santa Paul.
Yes!
Thank you.
What the guests on The One Show get, so that's what you get as well. Oh. Applause from people who are forced out of offices to come and applaud at the beginning. Dan Tetzel, welcome along.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your sofa.
Lovely to see you. It's a nice sofa, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah.
Only with the profits from this podcast have we been able to afford it.
It's a very small sofa.
Yes, yes.
And Nico, welcome as well.
Thanks.
Uniquely, though, for you, in that... We'll be upfront about this.
Yeah, let's.
Because it's, you know, this isn't like... Nico was just in the pub.
Yes, right. Very much so. We've had a couple of pints, which we often do before we do a recording.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I literally have a glass of water.
I'm not just a man in the pub. I was in the pub and you know me already.
That's fair. And we think, what are you doing? I'm not going to do the next hour. Come along, we said.
I think this sort of freewheeling excitement is exactly what The One Show needs.
Does seem, doesn't it?
If
though,
only. Yeah. Most if only you're allowed to wander in.
At least one of their guests every day seems to be dragged in. Oh, we know him. We'll get him out of the pub. So
yeah, I mean, I think David Dimbleby had a pint or two before yeah, this week's show, didn't he?
Why don't we start there?
Yeah.
This was Wednesday's show.
The hour-long special, yeah. David Dimbleby.
So, Dan, what did you, as a sort of having not really watched one show until you had to for this?
Right, well, first up, I should say, very first up, that I know Angelica Bell. I was at university with her.
Excellent.
Showing off.
I know. And that, we did a production of Macbeth in the Edinburgh Festival.
In the canteen.
And I was Banquo, and she was one of the murderers, and also my ghost.
Angelica Bell is your ghost.
She was my ghost. She wore a mask. Plaster cast mask on my face.
Yeah.
And then I pointed out that I don't have any distinguishing features, really. So from that, we back engineered it so that my bankroll had an eye patch.
And that's why she wears it to this day, yeah, on the one, yeah, show. Yeah, yeah.
She was very good. So I was very pleased she wasn't on this week, so I can just talk quite freely about what that was.
Jay Rayner was very indiscreet last week.
Oh, dear, no. But yeah, so the Wednesday, David Dimbleby appeared to be on one. He seemed to be, like, released. He was having a breakdown, or he was just really happy.
It's weird, because I think it's because we've never seen David Dimbleby out of context.
No, he's quite jolly, it turns out.
Because obviously he has to do Question Time, he has to do the commentary of royal things. So we only ever see him in that sensible situation. But off the leash, it turns out Dimbleby is quite the cad. I mean, he was properly on.
Is it off the leash, or is it just before he goes to work? Because he's a busy-looking man, isn't he? Always glasses perched on the end of his nose, sort of trying to handle a room.
He did forget a couple of times whose show it was. He started asking a lot of questions.
He started hosting it.
Yeah.
I mean, he took over the hosting. And then even at one point where Matt Baker was trying to introduce a film. No, it was a clip. It was a clip of Dimbleby's documentary. But he wouldn't let him do it. Every time Matt was clearly looking to camera going, well, we've got a clip, he just kept talking and going on. At one point, David Walliams, who was the other guest on this, we'll get on to him.
that sounded like an news. Ominous
they
cloud.
They very much behaved the opposite way to each other, you would think.
Okay.
Like they were playing each other's parts.
But then Walliams was like sniffing his drink, going, what's in this? Is it water or something else?
Do you know an excellent place to go to in any major city to see a picture of David Dimbleby in some swimming trunks? Do you know? there is a shop that you can go to in every major city where you will see photographs, candid photographs of Dimbleby on holiday.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to go John Lewis.
No, it's similar middle-class shop.
Lush.
Leon.
Bang on.
What?
Yes.
Tetzel calls it.
What?
Leon is set up by Henry Dimbleby, who is one of the Dimbleby sons.
Yeah.
But they decorate a lot of the Leons with family photos, where you can just pop in and you can eat your fish finger wrap and look at a picture of David Dimbleby on holiday sitting on a rock.
Are they national? I mean, there's not one where I live.
They're old pictures,
yeah,
aren't they?
They're old pictures, yeah.
It's not like now.
No. It's not like old men that you have to sort of like eat food and look at pictures of old men in really tight speedos.
Old political journalists on rocks. Yeah. There's a calendar I'd buy.
Is Leon a national? I don't. There's not one where I'm from.
No, they're mainly in big metropolitan cities.
No, I'm not from that.
No.
I mean, that's an alien.
Where are you from?
Well, I live in Canterbury, and there certainly isn't one there.
There won't be a Leon.
There's a big Wimpy, though.
That's my nickname. Why did
you... Have you got a pumpkin at the train station there?
There is a pumpkin.
That's the sign that your town is not a city.
Sorry, I'm from London. What's a pumpkin?
Pumpkin cafe. It's a sort of a platform-based coffee and pastries offering.
And also, where... newspapers as well?
Yeah, it's got a magazine.
It's the equivalent of Airside in an airport. when you go to buy a bottle of water and it's like fucking $1.99 and you think, well, I've got no choice now, I've gone through.
But the Dimbleby episode itself, so we had let's talk about how it began as well, because it began in a really weird way, Dan.
Well, it was the a lot of this feels like a weird fever dream that I've just forgot. I can't remember which episode anything happened in, because it was all so odd. They were on the forecourt, weren't they?
Yes.
Table football
World Cup. Yeah.
Hosted by Colin Murray.
Colin Murray.
I haven't seen Colin Murray in years.
It's obviously going very well for him then.
Yeah. He looked a bit like he'd had a rough few years. He looked a bit leathery, like he may not have all his teeth in the back of his head. Also, it made me wonder, we might come back to it, but does Matt Baker insist that all the other presenters are shorter than him? Because it's a weird collection of very short men.
I'm waiting for the call.
I don't think that call's going to come now.
What was strangest about it was that they obviously set up that they had 38 people playing table football on these groups and they would work it down, but they had this hilarious joke that the man playing for England was the national table football champion. And I don't know if they'd told Alex that was the joke, or she just didn't get it, or she was very good at pretending not to get it.
I think it's the second one.
Yeah, to the point where they kept having to reference it and nudge and wink. Yeah. And
did it feel, by any chance, that no one really knew why they were doing what they were doing?
Yes, yes.
Because in the few episodes that I've watched of the one show, I felt like not only do they necessarily not know why they're doing what they're doing, I don't know why they're doing it or why I'm watching it. And it's like everyone is just waiting for it to be over with.
There was a perfect example of this where they were talking to the lady who won the Great British Bake Off last year, Nadia Hussain.
Yes.
And that was on Tuesday's show. And they had a bit where she had a recipe for tomato soup with mash in it.
Oh, God.
And they were saying, oh, it's absolutely split the whole room as to whether anyone likes it or not. And both the presenters were going, this is nice. And they said, but wait till you see this. And they threw up a mocked up, I'd say Photoshop, but I don't think it was even Photoshop.
I mean, it was shockingly bad.
A picture of Donald Trump sitting there with a bowl of this tomato soup with mash in it in front of him. And nobody knew what to do or say when it came up. It was one of those things everyone must have gone, this is hilarious. Okay. Hilarious. It comes up and you go, it's meaningless.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of your recipes really did split the room today.
Go on.
Which was the tomato soup with mash in it. I'm all for it.
Yep.
I mean, I think on a Sunday,
a big old dollop of mashed potato in a bowl of soup.
That's it. Yeah. That is my comfort food.
Well, we've got a picture of Trump actually tucking in. Here we go.
There you are. There's Macron in the background. Bon appetit.
Does he look happy? Does he look happy?
I think he does. He looks excited.
Oh, he looks excited.
But I can imagine a lot of people watching this now. Nadia at home.
Same colour as the tomato soup.
Mashing soup. Mashing. I'm going to try it.
Nobody understands what this is.
No. We're going to assume this is a joke. Are we going to assume this is a joke? we've got the nod that was a joke.
That Nadia Hussain episode was weird because it opened with them. They'd converted the whole place to a flower shop for a start. And I was watching it thinking, right, at the peak of hay fever season, what you've done is filled a studio full of people with as many flowers, just flowers, and they sort of, we'll get to this. We'll tell you why we're doing this.
This one opened with a joke.
There was a massive car crash earlier, and people have been leaving their respects.
Someone drove their car straight into the studio.
This opened with a joke, and I'm going to tell you the joke, because I don't think this joke can be anything other than a referencing to bumming. Right.
Yes! I know what you're about to say. Yes, go on.
So Matt opens up, and it's a scripted gag that they've decided to kick the show off with. And he says, a big deer in the world of our relationship. Alex today has done something I've been asking her to do for 5 years. It's happened. I can't believe it.
Look, I've written the words bum sex in my notes. Can you see that?
Hello, and welcome to The One Show with Matt Baker.
And with Alex Jones, and it is a big deer. In the world of our relationship, actually, Alex today has done something that I've been asking her to do for 5 years. It's happened. I can't believe it.
I know. I have brought back his wallpaper stripper.
I know. Now, the joke is, he'd lent her a wallpaper stripper and she'd finally give him back. Let's make it clear as well.
Shall we say?
Something that's never been referenced on The One Show before that he's lent her this. So why on earth we're suddenly invested in it after 5 years? But this after 5 years, she's done something I've been asking her to do for 5 years.
Yeah.
That can only be an anal sex joke.
I think it was probably an engagement joke, wasn't it? I think.
Done something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Done something. I believe it. I've been asking her to do for 5 years.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's
open her anus.
Yeah. And take the baker.
The only reason I say that is because it's not something you do, really, is it? It's more that technically that it's done to you.
You're
just back onto you. I don't think. No, it's not.
In a loving relationship, I'd say that's a joint decision.
And it certainly should be.
I cannot see
kids,
what the joke is supposed to be if it isn't. I finally, after 5 years,
where was he taking us?
Begging and cajoling, Alex has agreed finally to have anal sex. There is no other. There is no other way that joke.
This is what makes me think that somebody might be the scriptwriter might be listening to this and have gone, I'm going to give them something to go on right at the top of Tuesday's show. Matt and Alex won't get it. They'll think it's about the wallpaper stripper.
Yeah,
but the guys off the One Show
like
show.
Like when EastEnders started putting Harry Hill references in, just to,
did they?
Yeah,
I wasn't aware of that.
It was an episode of EastEnders where they had one of those. Tamwar wanted to be a stand-up comedian and not the open mic night. There was someone who's dressed as Harry Hill. A woman dressed as Harry Hill with a ball cap. And she went, that was the daughter of Harry Hill.
strange. Little Easter egg for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They then moved on to this whole the flowers thing.
Yeah.
And then there was a bit where, again, they tried to get Nadia Hussein from Bake Off involved in the flowers. I don't think she knew why they were there yet either, because they were holding this massive revelation back as to why they were sitting in this pollen factory. And it, I don't know whether it was written in, because you know that thing where we've gone before where you have to involve the guest in whatever else is talking,
yes,
they're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
But she was wearing a dress with some flowers on the sleeve. Now, whether that was deliberate, they go, can you make sure you do that? Because it would tie in with what we're talking about, or not. But they just said, Nadia, you're a big fan of flowers, aren't you? And because they've got them on your dress.
Right.
And you're sort of going, it just doesn't make her a fan. I'm wearing it now. I've got a T-shirt with a skull on it. I don't want you to fill this studio with dead people. I mean, it doesn't make it.
It wasn't even Alex saying that. It was Matt. Who said it in a really slightly more aggressive, well, you got them on your dress. You're fucking lying to me.
Vaguely do Welsh, so I have to put it in that. That's
good, he was also, he was a bit patronising here, because Alex as well, when she was explaining the flowers, she said, they're very pretty, quite punchy. And he just turned to her absolutely seriously and just went, oh, good word.
We'll explain later why we filled our studio with these lovely orchids. They're nice, aren't they? They're quite punchy. And let's hope tonight's guest is a fan.
Well, like you would with a child, and going, that's a good word. You really thought that through.
Punchy,
well,
that's the word we used last night when we were trying anals.
Well, he was still angry about his wallpaper strip.
And then in comes Henry Blofeld, which was also brilliant, the cricket commentator. They had a simple thing of going, we'll set it up like he's Blofeld from the Bond films. Yeah. He'll be stroking a cat, and all he needs to do is say that iconic line that we all know so well. I was expecting you, Mr. Bond.
I was expecting you, Mr. Bond.
And if you didn't get it from the cat, well, the voice has got to be a giveaway. It's Henry Blofeld.
Except that's wrong, isn't it? It's I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond. Yeah. So it was almost like they'd gone, copyright, we've got to change it ever so slightly. I was expecting you, Mr. Bond.
I was not expecting anal sex, Mr. Bond.
My little fact of the week is that Blofeld, the Bond villain, is actually named after Henry Blofeld's dad.
Things we've learned. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that either.
Second reference in like 5 days to the Ian Fleming novel Thunderball. They mentioned that Tommy Steele, when he was on, he's mentioned in Thunderball. And they mentioned today that this was where Blofeld's introduced as well.
Right. So you knew that, Dan?
I knew that. And so that when he said, Matt Baker said, oh, that were Alex, I think Blend in One said, it's named after you. And he went, well, my father, actually.
But now you think about it, that
you
makes
done
sense
your
because.
Paul, have you?
Yes. But it does make sense because you sort of go, well, yeah, it is an unusual name. I don't know any. So of course they would have been at school together, probably, because, you know, they're all posh and that. So
they were at school together, and that's it.
And that's what it
is. And the rest, as they say, is history.
The nice thing is that Blofeld came on, and he's an older bloke, and he's been in the business for a long time, and he had proper anecdotes, and it was really thrilling for him to sort of go, oh, so I was on holiday and I was staying at Ian Fleming's house. Noel Coward had rented it out for 6 months, and Noel said to me, and if you're going to give me anecdotes, give me proper anecdotes. Good news.
But also, if you're going to give me someone going back to their old school to give them a pep talk about life and what life might hold for them, don't go to Eton. Don't
that
have a very posh man go to Eton.
That was the thing. What they said, they sent him to do a lecture at Eton, and he was waxing in this current diversity climate of posh, white, middle class, all that stuff. And it's going, well, who can we get that really embodies all of that? Let's get Henry Blofeld and take him back to Eton. Yeah.
My man was a very Victorian upbringing in a massive castle.
There's one of those black and white pictures that looks like it's come from the royal photo album of him sitting on a lawn
with a nanny. Those Eton boys who they were talking to, and you might say, well, this is your old-fashioned view of Eton. You know, it's changed and it's diverse. A, they were all white, and B, they were wearing a shirt that I've never seen before, and it was a different type of shirt than the one we all know. And it had a funny different collar that I've never seen before. And if you're wearing a shirt that people like us have never seen before, you are the elite. You're wearing your elite shirt. Yeah.
That bit as well, that when they said he's gone to Eton to do a one-show lecture, and you go, what? You might as well have a Love Island running at CERN or something. I mean, what the hell's a one-show lecture supposed to be?
They're taking over from the Reef lectures.
Yeah, exactly. The Reefian values now encapsulated by the one show.
They did do a thing which which Alex brought up a thing and she said, you have said before that nowadays you wouldn't make it onto television because you've got a posh accent.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know what?
Yeah, he did it very well.
He handled it really well.
Yeah. And brilliant. As we said, you've been the voice of cricket for, ages and ages and ages. But you think that you probably wouldn't have got the job these days because, you know, you've got a lovely posh accent.
Well, I wonder. I mean, I don't know. Perhaps I'm a bit of risk goes with employing me. Political correctness hangs over most things these days, doesn't it? And perhaps I, at times, tend to spike my way through it. I think I have a certain risk factor. And I wonder, if John Arlott and Brian Johnston, they came along, great commentators they were at that time and all time. But in today's market, I just wonder if they fronted up the BBC for a test commentary, a trial. Commentary, whether they would cut it.
But he was sitting there next to Nadir Hussain, so it naturally, as he didn't bumble through it because he's really, really good at speaking. And he was talking about really how they were wordier than people today. He was slightly going, look what I'm talking to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's
you
now and not me. But there was a weird thing about the cameramen slightly threw out to a two-shot of Nadia and Blofeld when he was talking about the PC.
Yeah.
Nadia's face was very much stuck in that bit between how is this going and it's going okay so far.
Yeah.
And it was a little
they
bit
They pulled it round.
Sticky.
You know, awkward moments on the one show. We know it's live television, that's what happens. And you're absolutely right. And it was a little bit, and you sort of go... okay, this is a big diversity issue. It's massive for the BBC, and Alex and Matt's arses must have been going 5p, 50p, 5p, 50p. How is this going to go? But he was ever the professional. He just said, even Jonas, the great Jonas, probably wouldn't get a job on it now because, you know, he's a posh white bloke, so he can fuck off.
He handled that really well because I do think there's a certain element of when you ask someone of that generation, would you get on TV now? What you're waiting for them to do is kind of go, well, of course not. It's all bloody lesbians these days. And he, obviously, you know, he's A, intelligent, and B, a nice dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, well
so
done
why
for him.
Ask him on the one show?
I suppose slightly. They had asked Nadia about saying, you know, what was your experience like? And do you feel like, you know, that it was important that you won? So in a weird way, to be absolutely your message, you do have to ask the next guest the same thing.
Have you ever sent racist abuse to a bake-off winner?
Talking to Nadia, there was a little bit of what I consider to be Muslim baiting. They were talking about, because obviously Nadia bake
off. As an item.
As an item. And now we're going to bait some Muslims. Here's a film. There was a bit where they're talking about Ramadan. Okay, so obviously, and the rules of Ramadan. Now, remember, what time is the one show on live? Yeah. It's 7 o'clock. That's not sunset, is it? In the summer, right?
No.
So they had a table full of treats, Alex Jones's word, right? And she said, they talked about Ramadan. And they said, okay, Nadia, you know, how do you do it? And she said, well, when I cook, I'm a picker, but I put food in my mouth during Ramadan and taken it out because it's Ramadan. I can't eat till the sun sets, she said. And then in front of they go, well, we've got a table full of treats. Right. And you just go, right, she can't eat the treat because the sun
that we've licked
clearly is clearly coming through the windows from the forecourt still. And she obviously was staring at it. And they go, well, we'll be enjoying these later. And you go, well, she won't because it's not sun. So, and then Alex is just eating them in front of her. And it's just this whole, what are you doing?
They had a little a video about Sheffield's new mayor, who is a huge dude. He's a Somali guy, Somali heritage. He's Muslim and he wears a backwards baseball cap. He's in the Green Party. And I think he's the youngest mayor, if not in Britain, certainly in Sheffield's history.
Certainly
he's...
without a cap.
He's 28. And what he doesn't have is a wife. So when he gets to do all his mayoral duties, he doesn't have a plus one. So he's begun putting on Twitter, would you like to be my official consort? And he picks random people and they come in and they are his official consort. And the one show decided to go, well, let's have the first ever consort that he has will be a one show presenter. And they brought in a lady of Middle Eastern descent. I don't know her religion, but she's of Middle Eastern descent. And I thought there was something really horrible about this insofar as I've never seen her before, and they've brought her out to kind of go, we're going to send someone as the official consort of the Muslim mayor of Sheffield. But don't worry, people in the racist areas of Britain, she's also possibly Muslim. We're not giving him a white consort, don't worry.
Traditionally, Lord Mayors are required to attend countless ceremonial events, usually with their mayoress or their consort. But without a partner, Majid is on the lookout for a plus one.
So he's inviting members of the public to join him as his consort on official dates.
And that's where I come in, because I'm going to be the first person to take on the role.
Hey, Marine, jump in.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you for letting me come along as your first consort. Brilliant. I am honoured.
So she did the first consort job. He rode around on a bike. It looked brilliant being a mayor of Sheffield. The second consort was a white lady. And that was, you know,
the second consort was a bloke.
Like what? No, the third one was a middle-aged white bloke who he took to a gym as his official consort. That mayor is brilliant. A huge fan. But I did think, why have you got this person who is part of your one show crew who is I've never seen before? She may have been on before. She's certainly not been on in the two months we've been watching it. And it just seemed a little bit a sop to the Brexit voting one show viewers who were not ready to see a white person go out with someone who came originally from Somalia.
Well, like, sort of, maybe we should start him with one of his own and see how he gets on.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit weird that they sent someone quite young and attractive. Because you think, now it does look like he's trying to pick people up.
Yes.
Because the whole point is he's going, no, I'm not trying to pick people up. Yeah. She started with the big fat white man.
The second consort was just a nice young girl from Sheffield. And they went to a factory and she ended up shaking hands with all of the workers. She's not...
Like a dignitary.
It made the whole idea of being the mayor's wife the most absurd thing in the world, where it was just some girl who got the bus and then she was shaking hands with all the workers going, wonderful job, wonderful job.
Isn't the job that these people are doing technically escorting?
But instead of a blowjob...
Tea-time escorting.
Instead of a blowjob, they shake hands with workers. It's really nice.
It's a way of getting the blandocracy to understand Tinder in the Brexit age.
Can we talk about Monday's programme? Because this was the one with Michael Crawford and the one where...
Only if we can come back to the man who was obsessed with orchids.
Oh, well, we will. You're absolutely right. I don't want to miss out on that either. No, he was obsessed. But yes, more of which are not. I just wanted to talk about the opening of the One Show, which ordinarily, what do you get? You get the BBC One ident, and then you just go, and now it's the One Show. And as we've discussed many times, there's 2 seconds of silence and some graphics before the music kicks in, and we don't know why. Still haven't solved it. However, instead of that, what we got was the sequence from Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, where, for those of a certain age will know this, Frank Spencer, Michael Crawford, blame Frank Spencer, is on roller skates, coming down a spiral 60s over the motorway concrete stairs into the road, grabs hold of the back of a bus, right? That's a famous sequence. If you know it, it's a hugely, hugely famous sequence. And they reshot it, but with Matt Baker. Except all they'd done was sort of not reshot it. In close-up, there was a very bad green screen of Matt Baker hanging onto the back of clearly a bus that was static.
Yeah.
And then tried to cut that in the actual shots of this from the 70s.
And Alex was driving the bus.
Which was never a shot in the original anyway of a bus driver.
No.
At all. You know we talk about things we've learned from this week's The One Show. What I learned is The One Show doesn't have a budget.
No.
That bit also taught me something else. When she sat down after the credits had rolled and she said the line, "See now, I knew that bus licence would come in handy."
I knew that bus licence would come in handy. Welcome to The One Show with me, Alex Jones. Where's Matt?
He's over here. Yeah!
I think Alex Jones has a licence to drive a bus.
I mean... Well, shit. Yeah.
They have that thing as well where they presume the viewers have watched this every night for 9 years and you know all the backstory. So she doesn't say, you might be surprised.
In season
to find
two,
out.
When that, the one where she got an HGV license.
It's exactly the sort of
thing
they do.
I think someone who had a bus license wouldn't call it a bus license. That would be my feeling, is someone who had any.
Well, that also ties in with.
Also, if you saw her drive, I mean, she wasn't.
But isn't
like
that the most one show thing that at some point they would have done a film where she'd have gained her bus license?
But that also ties in with
maybe
one
that's
of
how she got to school in Wales, you know, took all that, you know, there's only one school on the whole mountain.
Dear podcast connoisseur, it's entirely evident that you know your podcast stuff. Why else are you here? That's why I'm here to recommend Smirchpod.
What a helpful chap.
Now, Smirchpod is a podcast celebrating all the Bond films and Bond-related films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them. Hosted by me, John Raine.
If he's half the genius they say he is, we're in for real trouble.
So why not join me as I delve deeply into Bond and Bond-related films, tackling a different film in each episode with an exciting guest by my side. I promise you'll have a lovely time.
That's putting it mildly, 007.
Oh, shut up, Q. Put your fingers away, for God's sake.
I hope you don't snore, Q.
Hold up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
But it ties with my handbrake turn of the week here, because there was a little bit later. Well, first of all, it also not only assumed we knew about the bus license, it also assumed that the audience has a working knowledge of some mothers do have them. Because at no point did they reference it.
No.
At all. They just assume now, if there's a millennial, I don't know who watches The One Show for fuck's sake, obviously, but apart from the people that work on it, but it was this whole weird thing that happened where it's going, okay, look at this sequence of thing where we've shoddily stuck Matt and Alex in,
yet
we're not giving you any frame of reference to what this is, a man hanging off a bus.
I mean, the last time this was on television was probably the late 80s, early 90s.
There was a Comic Relief special where Michael Crawford recreated it a few years ago, I think. I learned that.
Yes, they reference it, innit? Yeah.
But even so, there was no context. And then when she took the hat off, Matt Baker wasn't there, and then she said, where's Matt? And then a voice sort of went, he's over here! Camera swung round, and there's Matt Baker struggling on the roller skates that they'd obviously shot earlier, but pretending.
He's over here in the catacombs of this idea.
Where Michael Crawford, who was Frank Spencer, who was in the original, sort of brought him onto the set.
Yeah.
And you're going, but still you haven't explained who these people are or what the context is.
It doesn't help as well that Michael Crawford looks identical to Roger Daltrey.
Yes, he does.
And that was a really sort of confusing thing, because I saw him and I'm like, why is Roger Daltrey doing some mother's... confusing.
They couldn't work out which bit of Tommy to do.
For the handbrake turn, this came slightly later on, so they've spoken to Michael Crawford about the whole thing, right? And then they had to get to the next film. Well, of course, Alex drives a bus. And when she drives a bus, it's always on time. But the same can't be said for Northern Rail. And then they just cut to the film tickets.
Let's be in absolutely no doubt about this. This was the most boring 10 minutes of anyone's life ever. This was like a Facebook fucking group on television where everyone was moaning about trains in areas I don't go to.
Well, it was
for 15 minutes.
It's one of those moments of The One Show where you're watching it and then they cut to a thing about Northern Rail and you go, oh my God, this is national. I forgot this wasn't just a regional part of shit. I thought it was just what we don't get instead of the Northwest News. I was like, oh my God.
It was so long. And the point that Jay Rayner made last week, they had exactly that problem here where they have this long piece about failing rail times and, I can tell you, an app that someone set up that trails it. The reason I know that is because that's a very popular app, and I can tell that by the number of people who are including our tweet handle, The One Show, thinking it's The One Show, going on about this fucking app, which is basically, as far as I can work out, only concerned with Cleethorpes. Right? Now, this boring thing, it finishes. It finally fucking finishes. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Ironically, it's trains. The next bit we have is a 15-minute chat with the guy who's made the film about exactly the thing we've just seen him talking about.
Repeating it over and over again.
It gave me 15 minutes more to think, was he in Brookside? is he that actor from Brookside or is he not? I can't work out.
He's a funny one as well because there are presenters on the one show who don't seem to have any prior presenting experience. So your first job, they've gone, do you want to do a bit of presenting on the primetime BBC One show at 7 p.m. that goes out every weeknight? And you go, yeah, I'll have a go at that. I don't know where he's from. I don't know who he is. And I don't know why I wouldn't shut up.
They teamed him up with the sort of child catcher economist. Gangly, yes. Sort of pale, troglodyte sort of. And tell him how much money he gets.
I'll get a taxi when the train doesn't come.
Well, you could claim back for the taxi.
All right.
Speaking of the Twitter feed for the One Show, and you're right, we get, because people just get it slightly wrong, they just type in the One Show and ours comes up on it.
And also, the One Show itself has chosen the Twitter handle at BBC The One Show, which is no one's typing in BBC first. You put that at the end.
So ours comes up. But this week, this was Leon, who was just, this was The One Show, just, you know, just describing it, which I thought was just a beautiful description. So I don't know whether Leon listens, but anyway, watching The One Show, it's like two groups of customers at the supermarket in the frozen food aisle chatting mindless nonsense but blocking the party vol-au-vents from your reach. It is, isn't it? It is that.
We know, we appreciate everyone who bothers to get in touch because God knows, I mean, you know, it's nice to see some effort involved in The One Show. A guy called Pablo Diablo Bonzo did a very good point where he pointed
his real
out
name,
early with Michael Crawford. He said, my concern here is this isn't your usual The One Show shenanigans. Someone was paid to decide on a song to use that best encapsulates the essence of Michael Crawford. It was a short video they showed of him. And they picked The Pixies' Here Comes Your Man. They were saying, how can this be anything other than an attempt to sneak subversive stuff into The One Show?
Yeah.
Absolutely true. That little clip of Michael Crawford, that reminded me, God, blimey, I'd like to see more of his work.
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, I think the major problem was that Matt clearly fancied himself quite. He thought he could do it. He really thought he could do it. He thought, well, you know what?
Yeah, because he did that thing of saying, was it someone said I look like a young Michael Crawford or something? Yeah, where he's trying to pitch himself as this sort of.
I looked at him, I thought, I bet he.
Anyone who's ever presented it similar ilk of a show, very, very keen for the audience to get the impression that there's more to them than this.
Yes, that's
sort of the most disappointing thing about the whole thing. Whenever I watch anything like that, the person who does it really badly is Dan Walker from Football Focus.
Yeah.
He's dying to sort of reference that he used to listen to the Smiths and all that in the same way that sort of Gordon Brown, you know, when he famously was talking about having the Arctic Monkeys on my iPod.
It's great to wake up to.
Dan Walker, the one who denies evolution.
Yes. Dan Walker, this is, I imagine, absolutely untrue, but I've heard it numerous times from people who I'm going to say, for the purposes of legal reasons, are absolutely wrong, is that Dan Walker on BBC Breakfast refuses to do any news stories that involve dinosaurs in any way. Now, I know there's not a huge amount of like breaking news about dinosaurs, but if that's true, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
I won't do the dinosaur story. If one comes back, you won't hear about it on BBC Breakfast.
You'll be tuning out to Piers
Morgan. He would have loved the Benjamin Britten Noah opera that we spent a lot of time talking about this week.
Do you know what? They showed a little clip of a 15-year-old Michael Crawford when he was doing Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood, which I think he's bringing back for one night only. He's playing the voice of God, which he then refused to do on air. And what it reminded me is when we were watching The One Show, they used to, the BBC, record Benjamin Britten operas and put them out on television. And now we see a clip of that, and it cuts back, and someone's just going, "Ah, cute!"
Come into the sheep of the Wella for his love that you bought.
What a cutie!
What bigger signifier?
Now, here's some sand.
Here's for more clips from Condor Man.
Condor Man, I know.
I bought a DVD of Condor Man.
It does not hold up, does it?
It doesn't fucking hold up.
No. Even that clip, was like, oh, you spoil it for me now, because in my head it was fine, but that clip has just shown
me. It came on Netflix a couple of years
ago. Google it, kids. Condor Man.
I tried to show it to my son, and we didn't make it.
Did you see the Matt Allwright Peace Summit? Yeah.
Amazing.
Did you see this? Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever unsee it.
No, I mean, this was... What what had happened here. You could see what had happened, right? So it's the day that Trump is meeting Kim in Singapore.
Yeah.
So they decided that a good feature would be for Matt Allwright, of course, to go and hold a peace summit.
Yep. In a Singaporean restaurant.
Yeah, which clearly an assistant producer walked past earlier that day and gone, we could do something in there. That's all that was.
Yep.
It was the biggest waste of time.
Well, they had to find one person.
No, it wasn't, because it gave us the head of the British Communist Society.
They had to find one person who was pro-North Korea.
He was amazing.
And they found that guy, and he was arguing, saying essentially, America imperialist and they should leave everyone alone. And he said, if I'm fighting with my wife, my neighbours don't have a right to come over and sort it out. And Matt Allwright just went, but if your wife has a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Credit to Matt Allwright.
Yeah. The point would be,
would you guys be happy with that?
I think it would be hard to justify leaving South Korea, essentially our ally, kind of unguarded.
It's up to the Koreans to sort out their differences. If I'm fighting with my wife, I don't think my neighbours have a right to come and start saying, I'll sort it out.
You know, you're absolutely right, but if your wife has a nuclear weapon, then it does kind of shift the balance of power a little bit.
But if you're killing your wife, then yes, they do. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about, yeah. Not... Yeah.
He believes, obviously, the communist believes in all things being shared, apart from an iron, because he clearly hadn't borrowed that off anyone. Scruffy shit.
But his face slowly dropping, as obviously they got him to walk in to shot first, and he was a bit suspicious about what was happening. And then as he was sat at the table with all these other people, as he was getting more and more suspicious. And then by the end, where they made them fake, they made them mock up that Trump being menaced by Merkel photograph.
Yes.
He was just staring off into space going, I'm going to get shot.
I mean, you knew it was going to go wrong. When
a pickaxe in the back of the head.
When Matt Allwright's opening sentence...
Some poison wiped on my mouth in an airport.
Matt Allwright's opening sentence was, Kim and Trump, ahead of their summit, I've come to a Singaporean restaurant to hold one of my own. Well, they did say at the end, I thought the very smooth, this was very good of Alex. Did you see what she said when coming out of the thing?
Yeah.
Was it her that said it? Was it Matt?
Moving from rogue traders to rogue states.
And I
let's hope it all goes well tomorrow.
I applauded that in my own lounge.
No, it was good.
Rogue traders.
It managed to hit entirely the wrong tone. I thought it was brilliant. The whole part, it wasn't quite lighthearted enough.
Oh, Dan, if you'd watch more of the one show, you'd see how often this happens.
Well, the ramifications of this going badly don't bear thinking about. Here's Giles Brandreth standing on a cow.
You still technically at war with America?
But this is what makes me think. You sort of go, are they someone listening to this? Are they? I don't know. Because there was a very self-referential bit in Wednesday's show, I think, where Alex said, in a moment we'll be finding out how Professor Alice Roberts has taken inspiration from the animal kingdom to build the perfect version of herself. And Matt went, it sounds random. Yeah.
What did she build?
Well,
she built an animal. Out of what?
Out of animal. So so she's doing a documentary, is that right?
Yeah.
About whether or not humans should take the best bits of the animal kingdom,
right,
graft them onto our human bodies to improve. So the argument was, if your hearing is going as it does in your 30s and 40s, right, then why not? If science could give us better ears to catch up, would that be a good thing?
Is this the next vote that the British people are going to have?
Are you going to have cat feet?
Vote in which way we're going to involve.
Using the best of these animal designs, I'm going to create a lifelike model of me that will be a total rethink of the human body.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Each improvement will highlight our limitations and reveal how changing body parts could mean compromises.
So the mouth needs air from the lungs in order for us to speak.
Can I create a body better than my own? And what will she look like?
She was building the perfect, if you like, human, bearing in mind that evolution, clearly they just set that aside and gone, what if, we did that? So it's a documentary, but they ruined the end of the documentary.
Yeah, big reveal.
So there's a huge reveal at the end where this whole documentary is building up, presumably, to what a human might look like, and they model it on Alice Roberts. Should all these things have changed according to what people want? Like, i.e., she was talking about childbirth, right? And you go, okay, where's she going with this? And she's, because childbirth's really painful. I've had two kids, and it's really, and Alex goes, oh, yeah, it really hurts. And they go, where are you going with this? Are you coming to some sort of super vagina. How is this gonna? What are you gonna do?
And super mouth vagina.
She said,
cough it up.
And they didn't mention
flip top womb.
Yeah, the elephant. The elephant's fanny in the room was basically. Do you want one the size of an elephant to get the baby out easier? No, we want a tiny baby. And what we then wanted, we want it to come out like a kangaroo does, i.e., tiny. Mm. And then as a human, I want to gestate it in a pouch. So like they built this, Mark.
Yeah.
They built this creature and then unveiled it. And there was a freaky pouch.
Did it have clothes on?
Child.
When it had pants and a bra.
It had future clothes.
Kangaroo with pants and a bra.
But they were talking about cat ears.
I
don't want people building sexy
cat ears, yellow eyes.
So animal women.
Feet sticking in a pouch in her tummy.
If this wasn't on television, if you built that, you'd go to prison.
I really appreciate you putting all the hours in and everything, but I am not fucking shagging that.
Kill it with fire.
That was really, really weird.
And now to Singapore.
Oh, it's sad to hear that Alice Roberts has gone demented.
She's gone demented.
For money.
If we are talking about unnatural things, I'm not saying that, I don't know, to call back, but did anyone notice the slight frisson of nerves around Michael Crawford when they were talking about Benjamin Britten and the boys' choir that
yes.
he found?
Yeah. It's BBC 101, isn't it? Talking about when you were younger and you dealing with someone who was older.
Quite famously. Yes. a lot of rumours circulating about him.
Yes.
About younger boys. And you go, I don't think they know.
And Mr. Britten was just so amazing to all of us. He was always encouraging. And you know how we're always inhibited when we do things that aren't, especially when you're 12 or 13, you've got no confidence at all. And he then used me again in the world premiere of Noise Flood when I was 15, and now 60. This is the 60th anniversary of the opening night.
Yeah. Wow. And he championed you so much that he actually changed some of the singing part because your voice was
had slid.
Michael Crawford knows what he's trying to avoid talking about.
Yeah, but they don't. They're ploughing on with it.
I should imagine that until 4 p.m. on that day, neither of them had heard the two words Benjamin and Britten together. So that doesn't come as a surprise.
He's the one who aged backwards, isn't he?
It became slightly less
over a bridge on a motorway.
You mentioned orchids, Dan.
Yeah.
I think you should talk us through orchids.
Oh, the Orchid Man. What was he called? I can't remember his name. Tim the Orchid Man. There's an extraordinary story about this orchid farm who'd been going for 138 years. And then we're on the edge of collapse because of the recession. And the cheap orchids we're all buying. I mean, it started from the premise that we all had orchids all the time. And I've never seen an orchid out in a shop. I'm like, oh, it's an orchid. So, but they were running out. This collapsing. And then this posh woman that they interviewed went, I always come here for my orchids. And then they cut to a bit, and Tim goes, "Oh, well, we were gonna close, you know, that was it, our last day." And she goes, "Yes, and I came down to buy my orchids, and they told me it was the last day, so I rang my husband and said, 'Should we buy it?'"
Oh.
And then this woman just, "Oh, and I came down for a couple of orchids, came away with the whole place." Richie, you're the
amazing. Richest.
I came to buy a present for a friend of mine, and everybody who worked here said this would be the last time I'd be able to buy anything. They were closing the following day, and it just seems really shocking that something like this could just disappear overnight. You could just do something like this from 1879 and stop. And so I started talking to the previous owners, discussing what it would mean to buy the business. And then I got in my car and I phoned my husband and said, "Do you think I've gone mad?" And he said no. And so literally came in to buy a friend a present and left with McBeans.
So it's about an orchid farm, and now they've got 100. They've got all the rare orchids.
Yeah.
They don't compete with a big orchid industry.
No.
But that's why they'd filled the studio with orchids. Now, I obviously was saying at the beginning how irresponsible it was at the peak of hay fever season. So here's a thing I learned from the one show. Mm. Orchids don't have pollen. So they are hay fever free. Not a problem.
You have to bring them off by hand. Yeah. Eventually, we saw Tim bringing
an orchid off.
So my question is, what have they got then?
But 47 years of essentially wanking off orchids.
Yeah, he's been wanking off orchids his whole life. And gets very angry.
Thank God we put the word "or" in front of that. Because otherwise we're back to Benjamin Britten again.
Peter Grimes.
So, look, we must sort of come around to the burning questions we always ask, Dan.
Mm.
Because of the Walking Dead style podcast,
yeah,
always talk about cast deaths. And up to now, no one has died during the making of the One Show, as far as we're aware. But we like to fantasise that they might. So if a presenter or a cast member of The One Show was to die...
Giles Brandreth. Hands down, Giles Brandreth.
And how?
Oh, God. Just obscurity. Like, just locked in a room accidentally and left. Like, not told that he's being filmed, but there's no camera. and just left.
Just left.
Walled up. It's a thing about Edgar Allan Poe's anniversary, Giles.
And then leave him.
We're going to wall you up in a room. Like, ooh, what fun. Jolly good. And then just leave him there banging on the wall.
Nico, same question.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of being involved with Dan in that. And us meeting up every few years and sort of it's been eating away at us. Trying to deal with that, trying to emotionally stay on top of that,
yeah,
and almost like what was the Hugh Grant drama recently about the
a very British scandal?
It'd be like that, where you know we've made a really bad decision and it could unpick itself at any point as the pressure starts to get to one time you're trying to slap me around, trying to get me out of it. I'm sort of trying to get you to calm down, and somewhere down the line, one of us is going to throw the other one sort of off a cliff or something like that, and then it's going to come out. Then they're going to find him, barely breathing, still alive in his room.
Oh no, he's still,
and then the whole
it.
Thing's going to come out, and then he'll end up just back on the One Show. That's the way I see that going.
Damn it, Nico. No one misses him. Literally no one misses him.
Lovely stuff. Now, have you ever wondered about how motorway signs are made?
And that is, I mean, for any other business, before we end, because I've got one more handbrake.
We haven't even talked about David Dimbleby playing Fortnite.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh God, I'd forgotten that. Yes, of course.
Yeah. Playing a computer game for the first time. And seemingly loving.
Were his glasses on the end of his nose going, yes, what am I, can I, if I could just...
Oh, I turned into a woman.
Excuse me one second.
Oh.
I turned into a woman.
And then I got a machine gun, but I ran out of bullets. She didn't tell me I only had 7 bullets.
Of course, Fortnite. Now, for those that don't know, which I include me in this, it's a computer game for children that's free... But they make their money from down that you can buy stuff in in-game purchases.
Always the extras, isn't it?
So,
always the
but it's a shooting.
Yeah, it's basically it's tag, but it's Last Man Standing, but with guns.
I was good. First of all, I had a tattoo and a big mattress, and I was dang.
Oh, we're watching you here, David. Look, you're very into
that. That was
it,
exciting.
There.
But then I turned into a woman, rather weird.
Well, you've got to have a hobby, haven't you?
Took me by surprise.
You know.
And then when I was a woman, I was much more effective. I parachuted into a forest.
Yeah.
You helped me.
Yeah.
And into a forest, and I went and I looked for enemies. I couldn't find any enemies, so I started destroying trees all around me. Which not
you were gathering resources.
Imagine if you saw this clip on its own. You just think he's lost his mind.
He's out of finally
cracked. Is that a place?
It's so beautiful.
Well, would you like to revisit that place?
Yes, but in reality.
No, just you'd go again.
Yes,
you'd be
with
quite
the
happy
thing,
to.
Yeah.
You have to figure out, then you found a tactical shotgun. You went absolutely bananas.
She said, you can shoot it. So I thought, brrrr. She said, you run out of bullets. She never told me you only get 7 bullets. And there were people all over the world playing against me who must have thought I was completely bonkers.
It's like a conversation with a 12-year-old. I mean, this is the kind of stuff.
And Dimbleby had a go at
it. Him and his mates, they've gone full Bluetooth headset.
Yep.
And he's basically organising his own social life whilst running around murdering things. The other day I went to try and talk to him. I went round and said, hey, mate. And he said, hang on one sec. I just need to kill someone.
Very exciting.
I learned something great this week, which was Henry Blofeld explained he was staying at Ian Fleming's house in Jamaica, which is called Goldeneye.
Yeah.
And when he was there on his honeymoon, and Noel Coward gave him the recipe for the perfect martini, you pour dry gin into a glass and wave it in the general direction of Italy.
He taught me how to make the dry martini, to end all dry martinis.
Oh, go on. So
he said, to make the perfect martini, we'll pour quite a lot of gin into a glass and then wave it in the general direction of Italy.
Brilliant.
And it's as simple as that.
Job done.
I thought that was a proper bit of old school glamour.
Yeah. I watched that and then went and did it. To get me through the next bit of the programme, I thought that I'm going to have one of those.
Didn't even bother waving it in the direction of Italy. Yeah. Drank it warm from your hands.
I learnt, in the words of Tim, the Orchid Man, that if you tell a Dutchman you can pot by hand, he'd probably wet himself.
And I bring you another handbrake turn. This was when Colin Murray, who was getting very excited about the One Show World Cup, where they played the World Cup, all the games down to the final within the space of an hour of the One Show on Wednesday, on table football. Right, this is what they were doing outside. I mean, it was Colin was the most enthusiastic man, shouting about this as though it was the actual thing. And at one point, at the beginning, he just went, there were just two people playing table football. He just went, "This is unbelievable!" And you go, it isn't. Two people. Also, for the One Show,
all
it's
too believable.
Perfectly normal. Yeah. But then there was a bit at the end of it. They were talking about Robbie Williams opening the World Cup, and Colin had done a little joke. And you know, say handbrake turn, and he went, "Well, let's hope England entertain us and don't come undone." Right, two Robbie Williams songs there, and Alex are all very good. And then they all started laughing. And the map maker went, "Now, Grenfell."
The songs, he's got the songs.
Well, we all know that Gareth Southgate has been saying, "Let me entertain you," right?
Yeah.
Let's hope they don't come undone.
Very good, very good. Thank you, Colin. We're going to be back with you later on.
Oh, we're about a third of the way through this, but now our artist, Anna Banchi, is in West London, taking on an assignment for a significant anniversary that's taken place this week.
I'm in North Kensington, where 12 months ago, the Grenfell Tower fire destroyed the homes of a community and caused the death of 72 people.
Okay, well done. You got us through it in the roller coaster ride that is the One Show. Dan, let's talk more about David Williams.
Well, he was awkward, didn't he? He didn't feel very comfortable sitting on the One Show sofa. He was stuck next to drunk David Dimbleby. Maybe not Coke. Maybe it's Coke. Being nice, being out with people who aren't clever. You know, it's just like when you hang out with kids, you get really pretty. But yeah, he was extraordinarily grumpy.
Williams, grumpy?
Yeah.
Well, he's a cunt. Well, that's why.
I mean, I didn't want to, you know.
I've worked in this industry quite a long time now, and I've met a lot of people, and most of them are nice. But the opposite of that is David Williams, who is a cunt.
Yeah.
In all content. I mean, as an interviewee, as a person socially, just a horrible, horrible man.
I found him absolutely horrible. The arseholes rolled dull.
It's worth mentioning, we've become really emboldened, because last week I referred to Tommy Steele as being a cunt, and we've heard nothing from him. So we now think that actually it's fine. It's just opinion. So
it's my opinion.
I think it's just vulgar abuse, I believe, is the legal term.
At the end of the day, he was unpleasant. So I found him unpleasant, so I'm going to say so.
I really enjoyed that turn where Matt Baker went, "And of course you're in a film," and Angela went, "Yes, Jennifer Aniston. How did that happen?" What? I mean, you're just an asshole.
Your reputation is as of a cunt.
She's properly famous.
I can't wait for his next book, which will be about like a dog who steals a diamond or something. And it's just saying underneath, "The arseholes roll doll, Dan Tetzel."
Cunt.
Please buy better. There are better books out there. For your kids. There really are.
I mean,
also, that's not Quentin Blake who does his drawings. It's a bloke who's Nick Quentin Blake's style. That's more annoying.
Not even the guy that did the Odd Bins illustration.
Anyway, it brings us to the end. Dan Tetzel, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Nico
Tatarovic.
I knew. And of course, Mark Hayes.
Worth pointing out, John, just very quickly. We really feel like we're cutting through with this podcast at the minute. It's really getting popular. Steve Doherty, he said, "I never watched The One Show, and yet I love The One Show Show. I can't explain it." And the important thing to note on that is the reply he got from someone, which is from Zorro P. Freely, who said, You mean it's real? I heard a trailer for it in another podcast and assumed it was a spoof ad. Well, now you listen to this, you probably wish it was.
Yeah.
Bad luck.
That's a fair point. But you're right, though. It does help, doesn't it? And all podcasts say this, don't they? So we might as well be the same. Mm. Is rate it and review it. Yeah. Download it. Subscribe to it. I don't know how
it works. And don't at David Walliams in it, please.
For God's sake.
Thank you.
For God's sake. His Twitter handle is @cunt.
And if you do bear in mind it wasn't me who said that.
That was John who said that. Thank you for listening. And remember, and this is very important to remember, of course, when you look at the television to look at the one show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Rule of Three, a podcast presented by me, Joel Morris.
And me, Jason Hazley.
In which we talk to people who make comedy.
About the films.
And TV.
And books.
And records.
And comics.
And people.
That make them laugh.
She doesn't want people having a go at Martin, even though she can. And that's true. I mean, most of my friends are idiots, but they're my friends.
I never really understood what Han Solo did for a job.
You don't need to know anything more than, like, he's just sobbing while being punched in the balls.
They were just trying to make each other laugh in the office. You have to show a certain amount of contempt for your audience.
Write your own jokes, been a morning, you lazy bastard.
Follow us on Twitter at Rule of Three Pod.
Rule of Three.
Available now from all good podcastiers.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.